Goldman Sachs, they're the broker. They made this thing up. And the thing that they made up, which is so amazing, is there's nothing real in it. It's not like this was a group of 700 mortgages that were being, you know, pooled together, chopped up, and sold. There was nothing real in it. This is very hard for the listener. Actually, it's hard for me to believe that I'm saying this. But they sold something that had nothing tangible in it. There was no tangible asset.
Okay, so you say you're going to make this explain, you know, easily understood. So what did they say people were buying? What did people think they were getting as they were putting their money down, other than a highly rated fund or something that was close to a mutual fund? They thought Goldman Sachs held the paper on what?
They thought they were betting. If you and your listeners are familiar with fantasy sports, fantasy baseball,
right?
That's the analogy. In fantasy baseball, in baseball, there are 700 baseball players, right? That's
right.
All there are. But there are like 15 million people that are playing fantasy sports, and they pretend to own the real baseball players. On my team, for example, I have Joe Mauer from
right.
Minnesota Twins.
Right.
I get his statistics. They accumulate for my team. My team is referenced to Joe Mauer and 25 other Major League Baseball players. I can pretend I'm a manager, but my team has value because I'm betting against somebody else. There's 12 other teams in my league. We all pretend to own Major League Baseball players. We get their stats as if we own their players. That's exactly what a synthetic CDO is. You get the stats of the underlying asset as if you own them. That's how it works.
But why? What would be the payoff of that? Why would that pay off to you? Because and Joe Mauer doesn't send you a check. So how is it that these synthetic debt
here we go.
Okay.
In fantasy baseball, the payoff is because we put money into a pool, and the end of the year, the team with the best stats gets half the pool.
Right.
And the second place gets a quarter and so on. So we put money up. In the case of synthetic CDO, it goes something like this. The Wisconsin school districts put their money into a bank account. They didn't know this, but it was a bank account in the Cayman Islands. And that money was an insurance policy against junk debt that was held by the Royal Bank of Canada. If that junk debt dropped in value to a certain point, the Royal Bank of Canada got to raid the account in the Grand Cayman Islands. In exchange, the Royal Bank of Canada put interest payments, actually insurance payments, ended up going to the school districts. So as long as the underlying asset that nobody owned was paying off, they would make the insurance payments. As soon as the underlying assets tanked, no longer were paying off, then the Royal Bank of Canada was able to take the collateral from the account, and the school districts lost all their money. So what was going on with Goldman Sachs is they had an underlying reference pool of junk mortgages, apparently designed to be the worst ones they could find. That was, instead of Joe Mauer, they got the worst baseball players they could find to reference. And the other side of the bet made the insurance payments to the people, basically made like interest payments on a monthly basis or quarterly basis to the investors that bought this stuff from Goldman Sachs. But once the underlying reference, once the bad baseball players got bad statistics, game over, they lost their money. They lost $1 billion, and the guy on the other side of the bet, John Paulson, he made $1 billion. And by the way, apparently he was the guy that picked the players. He picked them to lose. He picked the worst assets he could find to reference.
What would be the way that Paulson would have lost? How would the stars have had to line up for him to lose?
He wouldn't have lost. There was no way he was going to lose $1 billion. That was the interesting thing. He would have been making these in a sense insurance payments into the fund, to the investors. He would be making the insurance payments. That would be their rate of return. He would be giving them these monthly or quarterly payments.
How much would that have been worth?
It would have been worth,
What was he putting out?
Probably a percent or two more than it would cost to borrow money.
So he's looking at 4.5% or 4.75% or whatever, something in that over what the fund was worth. And he had to pay into that. He had to pay that every month.
Or quarter, however they set it up.
Okay, right, or every quarter. But he had to pay that every on the with the knowledge that he would only be doing, he'd only very likely have to do that for a short period of time before the fund turned turtle, before the fund was no longer worth what it looked like on paper. And as soon as that's when, as soon as that happened, that's when he'd start getting paid back.
Well, with a vengeance.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. That's when he'd start getting the money back. When as soon as the fund went over under,
right. As soon as the underlying baseball players had a whole bunch of gotten to a bunch of slumps and did poorly. As soon as it hit a certain level, bingo, he got the money.
Paulson was betting on the idea that it wasn't going to work out.
Correct. And
okay.
Neither Paulson nor Goldman Sachs nor the people that were investing own those players. Now,
right.
That's the mind-blowing thing. They did this without owning any of those players. They just referenced them and kept track of their statistics. Those were mortgages. They didn't own those mortgages. They didn't own the houses. They just referenced a pool. And they put it together in such a way that the rating agencies gave it a AAA rating.